Hello. Hello. So we are on our second week of looking at our Ignite, looking at our young and our youth and our young people here at St. Mary's. And we're going to be focusing in for about a month on really looking at how we can invest and really nourish and just really be part of our youth and young people here. So I've been given the title today of intergenerational discipleship. I feel like I could write a book on that one. Intergenerational discipleship. And I just really want to share some of my heart today about seeing discipleship happen across the generations and to the generations to one another. Like it's going from me to you, you to me, that it happens across the whole generations of the church. And we've been saying this, but I'm going to say it again. It'll probably be said every single week, is we are not waiting for our Ignite director to come in and save the day. Do you know this? I hope you do. We're not hoping for this superhero to just fly in and say, it's all right, folks, I'm here now. Your children are safe. They're going to grow up in the Lord and they're going to be brilliant. Well done. Back away. That's not what we're looking for. That's what many churches do look for. But we're not about that. We're not looking for that. We are looking for an Ignite director. We are looking for someone to come in, and we desperately want that person and need that person. And that person is to come in to support and equip the work that is already going on amongst our youth and our young people. That person's going to come in and encourage us and support us and the whole team in Ignite to say, keep going. You know, have you thought about doing it this way? And supporting us and encouraging us to be a whole family discipling one another. It's not down to one person who had a bit of training on it. It's down to us to disciple our youth and our young people. And I believe it does take a whole church and a whole family to disciple someone. Just like what's missing in this generation, I think, are villages raising children. We have families raising children at a squeeze. We might have that even. But it does take a whole community and a village to raise a child. So why does it have to be any different in raising disciples in the church? It takes a whole church to raise a disciple. It doesn't just take this generation over here who've got it down and they've got old enough now that they can maybe pass something on. It's a whole generation, all generations, discipling one another. And so this, I've been looking at the word intergenerational this week. I thought I might do a little bit of research on the word. And many people do call it that we are a multi-generational church. And I think that's a good title to have, multi-generational church. But what that means is we are a church and we have all the ages kind of represented. We are a multi-generational church. So that's the kind of church where you come on a Sunday and you're like, oh, a young person. Oh, there's a youth. Oh, look, there's an older person. Every age is kind of represented. That's a multi-generational church. One intergenerational church is what it says on the tin really, is where we have all the generations, but it's intergenerational, which means we're connected. That it's more than just being represented, but it means that we're in relationship. That we are an intergenerational church because we want to pursue relationship with one another. We don't just want to say, oh, look at us, all ages. We want to actually be in relationship with one another, that I actually want to invest in a child, and I want that child to invest in me, that we're in a relationship, that discipleship goes, it's like a ping pong, it goes from me to you, it doesn't just I hold it or the vicar holds it, it's all of us on a journey. So I do believe it takes a whole church and a whole family to see healthy discipleship and to see healthy church. And I believe to see mission and evangelism like we've never seen it before. Believe me, if you go and do evangelism with an on-fire youth, you will have to be braver than you've ever known because they just go for it. So I want to encourage us to all be in relationship and to go for the things of God together, because we're going to see something we've never seen. We keep saying, we keep blaming the world for things. Maybe we need to start doing things more together, and we might see something different happen in the church and in our communities. So let's be in relationship. The world is even speaking of this. You know, scientists are coming up with this research evidence that it works to be in relationship with all generations. I don't like to break the news to them, but God had that idea first, of where he created families and that everybody should be placed in a tribe or a family or a village or a community, because that's where we thrive. I don't know if you've been watching the BBC lately, but there's been this documentary on toddlers going into residential homes, especially places where people are struggling with dementia. And it's a wonderful documentary, and they're not going in there just to be paraded, sing a few songs, make everybody feel better. That's multi-generational. They went in to build relationships with one another. And this lady, who hasn't spoken for about 2 years because the dementia has just taken her into the sort of like prison of dementia, after a few months of this little girl going in and then playing dolls together, this woman began to speak. They've never seen that. So there's something that happens to us when we're in relationship. Intergenerational. I want to be in a relationship with you, and I want you to be in a relationship with me. Something happens when we pursue that. I had the terrifying moment this week of, for those of you who know, you've probably read The Sheep We Are Adopting, right? And we had the terrifying moment this week of our children being taken to another room to be questioned. Scary stuff, hey? So we stayed in a room where we could more or less listen, telling the dog, shush, try it. And they were asked lots of questions, our girls. And the beautiful moment of where my children taught me was I heard them say, what are you looking forward to about having your brother come and live with you? And they said, we are really looking forward to telling them about Jesus and teaching him about Jesus. I don't know if they felt someone official, so I should say something about Jesus. But it really challenged my heart, because I thought, actually, when I look and pursue relationships with other people, when there's relationships going to be coming my way, when new people are being adopted into the family, is our first thing we long for is that we want to tell them about Jesus. We want to teach them the way of Jesus, because they don't know him. They don't know how Jesus is. Is that the first thing on our heart? Because I don't know about you, but that challenged me. Because even as a parent, I want to teach good manners. I want to eat your greens. Brush your hair this week. You know, you want to teach them things like that. But actually, the ultimate thing that these young people, what we need is people who are pursuing relationship with us across the generation, and that we want to share Jesus. So I wonder, do you want to do that? Do you want to share Jesus with people? And it makes me want to say to people today is that every single one of us has received Christ. If you haven't, come speak to me at the end. I'd love to tell you about him. All of us have Jesus to share. Now, my girls haven't got many years of Jesus, but what they have, they want to share. And I want to encourage you today, what you have, share it. Pursue a relationship and share it, because you'll never see growth in your life any larger growth in your life than if you share. You need to share it to grow. Share the Jesus you have. So we've been given the reading from 2 Timothy. And I just want to pull out two parts from this reading in 2 Timothy to help us really pursue relationship and to really get in the nitty gritty of what discipleship is, of what being church family is. So we see in verse 14... and I'm just going to read it, so if you want to turn to it, if you've got it open, it just helps. it says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have heard it, and how from infancy you have known the scriptures." So first it says, "But as for you." So this is Paul speaking to Timothy. Now Timothy is young in the Lord. He's a young lad. He's out doing the work of the Lord. And Paul and Timothy are in a relationship with one another that Paul really wants to encourage Timothy. And I'll speak about that in a moment, about the role of mentoring that we can step into. That there is this sort of, he even speaks of Timothy as, you are like a son to me. So he's really entered in to this relationship. And he's speaking to Timothy in this scripture here. But Timothy is in a place of where it's getting a bit grubby where he's at. You know, the behaviours are getting a bit sort of drunkenness, adultery, you know, just what we live in now. Like the world is going a bit bonkers around him, but there's also false teachers saying, "Oh yeah, this is the faith, this is how we live, it doesn't matter, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It doesn't matter." But Paul is reminding Timothy, he says, "Continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have heard it." You know the ones from whom you have heard it. And what Paul is drawing Timothy to is, you know those people of integrity, those people who didn't just say the things of God, but they lived the things of God. Remember those people, you know, the ones you know and you trusted. He's speaking of his mum, of Timothy's mum's Lois, and of his grandmother, Eunice, and of the village and the community in which he was raised in. Remember those things. You know, the same things were taught, but people lived it out. These are the things in which Paul is asking Timothy to stand upon. It says in Proverbs 22, "Train a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not turn from it." I haven't reached that part of our journey as parents yet, but I hope I've trained my children in a way that when I wave them off to university, if they want to do that, or wherever they're going, where it's going to get crazy around them, I hope and I pray that they will remember the life that they witnessed here at St. Mary's in their local church. I pray that they will remember the life of that church, that these people preached it from the front, but they lived it in the week. That's what we need in our church family. Is that these children and these young people need to see people of faith who are living it out and who are inviting people to say, come see. Paul said it. Come, copy me. I'm an imitator of Christ as I copy him. And I wonder, are we so busy saying, oh, copy the vicar, or can you just copy this Ignite director that's going to come in, copy him or her? You know? Are we willing to say, imitate me? Are we going to be a church family who are inviting the youth and young people to see how we live life? I didn't have the luxury of being raised a Christian. I came into the church, I think I was 22 when I came into the church. I didn't know what all of this was about. And I needed people to raise me in the faith. Yeah, I went home and I studied my Bible. I got taught how to study my Bible. I listened to podcasts online. I did all the things that you're meant to do. I worshipped at home. I tried to turn away from sin and do right. But the things that made me grow was people saying, come over for a cup of tea and come and see how I do life. That's what made me grow. What called me to holiness and purity in my sexual relationships was being invited to people's houses and them showing me what a pure marriage looks like. I didn't want to get married because I thought it's rubbish. People just have affairs. That's what goes on. But a couple invited me into their home and modeled to me, this is what marriage is, Lydia. And I thought, I would like that. That looks good. We need to be people who are inviting people to come see. Come see, this is what it's like. And then when the trials come in our children, when the world says, oh yeah, God really loves this, let's go this way, they might get deceived, or they might just remember the people in whom taught them about the Lord, and that the Lord was in their midst. So let's be people who open our lives. And we don't need to be people who have it all together. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so often I think people want the life first. I want all the blessings of God. I want it all worked out. And then I might learn about the truth. And then I might follow his way. Then I might commit to the way he does things. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the way we get to that full life, that expression of what it is to live with Jesus, is to first and foremost commit to living his way and inviting others to come see. And we're going to get it wrong. I remember most of my growth, the things I pull upon from most in ministry, I love theological training, and I love all the placements I had to do in various churches. They grew me and they nurtured me, but still what I stand upon is the nurture of people in the church investing in me and showing me what it was to be a disciple of Christ. I used to meet with a woman once a week, and she taught me what it was to pray. Did she have it all together? No. She was suffering with depression. She still does suffer with depression. Her husband was disabled in a terrible accident, had a broken back. I learned prayer from that woman. That's where we need to be learning prayer, from people who have the stains of life. So if you don't think you've got it all together, you're just the person to model and show our youth and our young people. So Paul reminds Timothy, this is where you get nurture from. Remember, come on, remember those people who showed you the way. And also, he's talking about himself. Paul likes to do that sometimes. I have invested in you. Like, Paul has mentored Timothy. He speaks earlier in the scripture in chapter 3 of, you know, that everything I had, I've kind of given to you. I've poured out everything I know. I have poured into you. He sees something in Timothy, and he wants to mentor it. He wants to encourage it, and he wants to build it in Timothy. He even reminds Timothy in this scripture of like, I remember when you had hands laid on you and that prophecy was given. I remember the prophetic message over your life, and I'm encouraging you to keep going in that. Now, when I hear the word mentoring, if I say to you, can you come and mentor some of our youth and young children? Will you come and mentor me? Will you come and mentor some people in the 845, or the 845 come and mentor us? What would you say? I bet you'd say, oh no, I'm not quite at that level yet. I'm not quite at that stage. No, you should maybe pick someone who's been in the faith, who's maybe gone to college, who has maybe got all the certificates and has done everything. Well, I want to encourage us as a church to begin to mentor one another, and to put ourselves forward for mentoring some of our youth and young children. What I love about this mentoring of Paul and Timothy, Paul does teach him and he does train him and he does equip him. But the baseline level of this mentoring is one of encouragement. And I believe that all of us can encourage people in the faith. All of us can work in line with the Holy Scriptures and in line with the Holy Spirit, and to encourage people in their journey as disciples. He says in 1 Timothy 4, he says, do not neglect your gift, which was given to you for a prophetic message. Then he goes on, do not neglect this gift, for fan into flame the gift of God, which is within you. And then Paul speaks in 1 Timothy of like, I've watched you, Timothy, and I've seen you grow as a man of God. Paul has been with Timothy. He's been in a relationship with Timothy, so close that he says, you're like a son to me. But what he does is he spots a gift. He spots what the Lord is up to in Timothy's life, and he comes and he purposely invests in Timothy. And I wonder how many of us here today are willing to begin to spot the gifts of God in one another and to come alongside one another and to really invest and encourage one another in those gifts. If I'm not growing somewhere, I look for someone else who's really doing well in that area and I say, can we meet up? Let's do coffee. Because those people can invest in my life and they can encourage me of how to get into that place that they're in. So just like Maya on that day had little Jesus in her hands, the Jesus she knows, and she's willing to say, I'll teach him, I'll share Jesus. I wonder how many of us are willing to share the gift and the Jesus who gave the gift in the first place, how many of us are willing to share that? Because every single person in this room has been given gifts from God. Every single person is hosting the presence of Jesus. And this is how we grow. It's not that discipleship becomes about me getting bigger and better, but what discipleship is about my neighbor becoming bigger and better. Everything I have, I will share with you. So I want to encourage you today, church, to ask the Lord God, ask the Holy Spirit, who do I need to be investing in? Who do I need to be encouraging? Who do I need to be saying, fan into flame that gift in you, I see it. My biggest supporter was a lady in our church 10, 11 years ago. And she spotted something in me that wasn't present to the naked eye, believe me. It was not present. But she spotted it and she pursued me down and encouraged me in that gift. And she said, you can do it, even when I did the worst sermon or the worst leading ever. She would be, I know when it was really bad, because she'd say, oh, Jesus loves you, Lydia. Not a good one then. But she would encourage me in it. I would know when she walked in the room, I'd be like, she's here, everything's going to be all right. And I look around this room and I see many of you come into church and I see you and I think, they're here. I'm so pleased to see you. And do you know what? When any of you come up to our children to speak to them, to just share life, even if it's like, how nice are the cookies this week, or to share Jesus, or to share what God's been doing in your life, my heart just fills with joy, because somebody else is going to tell our kids about Jesus. And me and Mark are vicars, and we haven't got it down. We can't do it all. We can't tell our kids everything, and we can tell them everything, but they might not believe everything. But when somebody else in the church makes an effort, makes a relationship with our children, and says, Jesus really answered prayer for me this year, and tells them that story, that will stick with them. That will do far greater things than what we can do, study in, study out, study in, study out with our kids. So please, share it. We need you to share. So what are you holding in your hand today? What gift are you holding that you can go and encourage someone else in? I had a picture many years ago around this subject of, it was many, many years ago, and I remember just seeing churches going about all their daily life, but everybody had a little person with them. And it was like people speaking in arenas, it was people playing on the guitar, it was people serving the poor, it was people going places, and everywhere they went, a little child went with them. And I would love to see that. I would love to see us open our lives and take people with them. And that is all ages, by the way. We don't just have to go and seek out a young person. We are particularly talking about a young person today. But I was 22 and I was that little baby that someone decided to take along for the ride. And that was the year that that advert came out. I don't know if you remember it, where it showed it on the negative side of adults arguing and smoking and a little person copying them behind. I don't know if you remember that advert. And I remember thinking, no, we're doing it the other way, so that they remember, so that they recognise Christ when he's before them, that we've modelled the way of the kingdom. So please share your gift. Please share Jesus. Because we're going to see such wonderful things when we do. Our kids one day will be in university in Timbuktu if the Lord sends them there. They will be there and things might get crazy around them. But they might remember that person who spoke to them at coffee about how the Lord called them. They might remember that woman praying even though everything in her wanted to give up. That's what we remember. That's what grows us. So, this week, think about what you got and give it away. Find someone to give it away to. And if you can't, you come and give it to me. Because I can always grow. And let's be that intergenerational church. Let's not just be a sticker on our church that we think's nice and that we can write about and tell people about. It's like, oh yeah, we're all ages. But let's really be it. Let's really have relationship with one another. Because I hope one day my children will remember all of you. My children will remember what St. Mary's poured out in their lives. Should we pray? Let's pray.